Before Your Sun Sets by White Butterfly, read by Draconic Ice. Rating: mature. Archive warning: no archive warnings apply. Fandom: arcane League of Legends. Relationship: Jace/Victor. Additional tags: Hanahaki disease, romance, slow burn, mutual pining, friends to lovers, falling in love, fluff and angst, happy ending, gay Victor, Jace has a bisexual awakening, set in season 1 between act 1 and act 2, featuring Jace being kind and loving and oblivious as fuck, featuring Victor being witty and charming and also oblivious as fuck, slightly less than Jace, but still, they are both idiots when it comes to each other, love confessions, updates every Sunday. Summary: Victor is sick with Hanahaki. Jace would do anything to save him, whether it be by developing an impossible cure or trying to find out who Victor is in love with to smack some sense into them. Little does he know, he's chasing his own shadow. Notes: this is a labor of love. I started writing this story a few months after season 1 aired, and now it's finally seeing the light of day. I hope you guys like it as much as I do. Chapter 1. Allow me to return the favor. There were very few things Jace and Victor kept from each other, but there was one particular subject they never discussed, a subject Victor purposefully avoided, and that Jace was growing increasingly concerned about. Victor was sick. Admittedly, his partner was trying very hard to conceal it. Still, Jace noticed. It was difficult not to see the dark shadows under his eyes and the unusual paleness of his skin, symptoms that Victor's lack of sleep couldn't entirely explain, or the way he always excused himself, rushing out of the lab at a pace that probably hurt his leg, only to cough his lungs out, the walls too thin to block out the guttural, unsettling groans erupting from his throat. Whenever he got back to work, his breath short, his voice hoarse, Victor always acted as if nothing had happened. But Jace was not blind. The recurring coughing fits were leaving him tired, exhausted, weaker every day. Though Jace and Victor never talked about it, it was also clear that Victor's declining health was becoming a hindrance to his productivity, which was unfortunate at this time of the year, indeed the busiest time for Piltover and all inventors alike. Progress Day was coming soon, and with it, the most important innovation contest of the year. There were only 3 weeks left until the start of the festivities, and the exhibitions held that day were the biggest opportunity for promising scientists to make a name for themselves. Despite their overwhelming success, Jace and Victor were no exception. Though they were both held in high regard for their groundbreaking achievements, everyone also had high expectations for their work. More than the council, the people wanted to see something innovative and revolutionary, and it proved to be an increasingly difficult challenge with each passing year. Jace and Victor needed to impress. They had, after all, a reputation to uphold. For the last few months, they had been working on a new robot meant to dispose of hazardous waste in the hope of cleaning the most polluted areas of the Undercity. Admittedly, Jace hadn't been immediately sold on the idea. After all, why would the council ever be interested in financing an environmental cleanup automaton that wouldn't benefit them directly? Why would Piltoven merchants invest in a technology that would not bring them any profit? When he had shared his doubts with Victor, his partner had arched an eyebrow. "What's the most important thing to you?" Victor had asked Jace with his distinctive, lilting accent. "Helping those in need, or getting paid for creating worthless gizmos and gadgets?" "You know I don't work on my creations for money or fame," Jace had replied, hurt that Victor would even imply otherwise. "I want to help people as much as you do, but for that we need resources, money. Shouldn't we try to appeal to those who can help us financially first? We could improve their lives, too. Still make a difference." The answer Victor had given Jace had stuck with him ever since. "Well, that's the thing," he had said with that small, lopsided smile of his. "Helping those who already have the means to help themselves won't make much of a difference. It is by helping those in need that we can truly change the world." And that was all it took to convince Jace. Surely, since Jace had been so easily persuaded, there were many other wealthy, benevolent Piltovans out there just waiting to be persuaded as well, right? All they had to do to convince them was to show off their fantastic new concept during Progress Day, and they would be swayed to their cause. Surely. No, absolutely. Jace would never know if Victor had laughed at his overconfidence or his newfound enthusiasm for their common project, but he'd realized that he didn't care so long as his partner was happy. And what would make him happier than achieving his dream? After all, Victor had once helped make his own a reality. The least Jace could do was return the favor. He owed him that. Unfortunately, their automaton was nowhere near complete, and it was highly unlikely it would ever be ready for Progress Day. Nonetheless, knowing they had so little time left hadn't deterred them from trying to complete their work in time. It seemed like they were spending all their time together in the lab lately. They often worked for several hours with very few breaks in between. Not that Jace was complaining. Working alongside Victor was what he loved doing the most, but the added pressure was draining. Despite his deteriorating health, Victor had not complained once. Jace had dared question him on the subject once and had regretted it immediately. Victor's face had turned wary in an instant, and in an uncharacteristically harsh tone, he had replied that everything was fine, that it was just a cough. Then he had remained distant for the rest of the day. Needless to say, Jace got the hint and never asked again. It hadn't prevented him from casting Victor concerned side glances from time to time, but what more could he do? It wasn't as if he could ask Victor about his health each time his friend cleared his throat a bit too loudly. Besides, if there really was something, Victor would have told him already, right? Perhaps it really was just a cough. Thinking back on it, he should have realized how wrong he'd been. The day Jace discovered the truth had started like any other, with two good cups of coffee prepared by Jace, an exciting discussion about the previous day's results, Victor complaining about his coffee being too bitter and adding an unhealthy amount of sugar in it, an update of all schematics, Jace accidentally drinking from Victor's cup and nearly choking on it because of how disgustingly sweet the drink was, and finally, assembling. The odds of finishing their work in time still bordered on impossible, but as Victor just said, it would be great if they could at least manage to present their Hexbot prototype to Professor Heimerdinger to gain his approval before the big day. No, Jace said in a categorical tone. No way, we're not calling it that. He was currently lying on his back inside the round, enormous automaton he and Victor had been working on all afternoon, his legs dangling through the circular hatch as he was attempting, and failing, to divert power from the Hextech crystal directly to the main components without overcharging them. In other words, trying to turn it on without making the whole thing explode. Why not? Victor asked, his voice muted by the thick, golden metallic shell. It's a good name. Appropriate. Jace groaned as he awkwardly bent his arm to tug at a cable and disconnect it. His position was getting increasingly uncomfortable by the minute. Any time he wanted to move, whether to tighten a screw or to simply scratch his nose, there was inevitably some random tech component with sharp edges grazing his skin through his shirt. Victor, I don't mean any offense, but your names are, how should I put it, uninspired. Ouch! Jace yelped, his legs twitching as he felt a light impact against his calf. By Victor's cane, no doubt. What was that for? Sorry, Victor said with the hint of a smile in his voice. Didn't see you there. Phew, and here I thought you hit me because you couldn't handle criticism. I feel better already. Hey! Oops, sorry again. Sure you are. Anyway, if one day I ever want to lose all credibility within the scientific community, I'll let you name... Wait, Jace said, a cable dangling loosely between his fingers. There were at least a dozen different sockets on the panel just in front of him, and the blue light coming from the polished Hextech crystal embedded into the central structure, inscribed with runes, was too faint to properly see the labels. Remind me where the RC cable should go into? Victor's voice sounded distant. Into the left quadricessor. This made Jace pause. The what? The quadranium-powered processor, Victor said, now sounding closer. And for the record, I did not name them. Professor Heimerdinger did. Of course he did. You couldn't possibly have been the one to come up with a name that good. Ow! Another kick against his leg, stronger this time, though his groan of pain might have been slightly exaggerated. I suppose that one was also an accident. Oh no, that one was on purpose. You deserved it. Jace laughed, then groaned as pain flared in his back. Laughing hurt. Just lying there hurt. The sooner he would be free of this cramped space, the better. After one final check to ensure everything was in place and securely connected, Jace plugged the loose end of the cable into the quadricessor. A low rumbling ran through the entire structure, and the Hextech crystal suddenly flickered to life, magical runes dancing all around it, blinding Jace with shimmering blue light. Victor's excited exclamations were drowned out by his own groans of pain. The jostle caused by the vibrations did nothing to alleviate his discomfort, and there was a specific spot, right below his left buttock, that was growing uncomfortably hot. A moment later, Jace wriggled himself out of the automaton, wincing and groaning as he let himself fall onto the floor. A pale, long-fingered hand extended to him. Victor was smiling broadly at him, his amber eyes sparkling despite the shadows beneath them, wild strands of brown hair messily laid over his forehead.
"Told you it would work," he said cheerfully.
"I never doubted you."
Jace smiled back as he grasped Victor's hand to get to his feet.
"Though I have to admit I was pretty worried about burning some precious part of my anatomy for a second."
Victor glanced sideways at him, then said playfully,
"Don't worry, nothing happened to your hair."
"Ha ha," Jace laughed dryly, making Victor chuckle. Stretching his arms above his head, Jace cracked his neck a couple of times, then put his hands on his hips and said proudly,
"The era of the great steam golem is about to begin."
There was a snort of suppressed laughter. Jace threw a sidelong glance at Victor. His shoulders shaking ever so slightly, Victor was pursing his lips as if trying not to laugh.
"What?" Jace asked. "Have you ever heard that old story about the pot and the kettle?" Victor said lightly. "It's a really good one."
Jace's confidence deflated like a sad party balloon.
"You don't like the name?"
"Well, it's, how shall I put it, misleading."
He looked a little smug at that, which gave Jace the sudden desire to own a cane for the sole purpose of poking Victor in his good leg with it.
Victor, it is kind of a golem, and it's great, and it's steam-powered."
"Auxiliary systems only," Victor pointed out. "You're not going to make people believe the mainframe isn't Hextech-powered. Besides, people like Hextech. It changed their lives for the better. I cannot imagine naming one of our creations based on something other than Hextech. And neither does the Council, by the way."
"I see your point," Jace admitted grudgingly. "What if we just call it the Great Hextech Golem instead?
Or we could just call it Hexbot.
The awesome Hextech Titan also has a nice ring to it.
Or we could just call it the Hexbot."
Jace threw his head back and let out a frustrated grunt, eliciting an amused laugh from Victor.
"Out of curiosity," Victor asked, "why don't you like the name?"
Jace rubbed the back of his neck.
"I guess it lacks some panache, is the word. What we do is supposed to be the stuff of dreams, but you name our creations as if they were nothing more than basic tools."
The familiar quirk at the corner of Victor's mouth twitched into a teasing smile.
"You're saying my names are Piltoven enough to your liking."
"What I'm saying," Jace said loudly, purposefully ignoring Victor's remark, "is that when you create something that's going to change the world, you give it a name able to convey at least some degree of grandeur instead of, you know, simply calling them hex things."
His emphasis on the last word didn't seem to be lost on Victor, who let out a low whistle, then said, almost conversationally,
"Someone's still mad about the hex gates."
"Don't get me started on the hex gates!"
Jace exclaimed indignantly, sending Victor into a fit of hearty laughter.
"The greatest invention of the century, and the Council chose your name suggestion over mine? What were they thinking?"
He sighed wistfully.
"Ah, to think they could have been called Astral Windows."
"The world wasn't ready for such greatness," Victor said, shaking his head in mock disappointment.
"Don't worry, Jace, your time will come."
"With the great steam golem."
"I meant to say, your time will come eventually."
Jace poked him in the side with his elbow. Victor huffed quietly at that, smiling warmly.
"Never mind its name,"
Jace said.
"It's going to be awesome either way. I mean, look at it!"
he exclaimed enthusiastically, appraising the half-assembled robot, gears exposed and cables spilling where limbs should have been, with almost paternal pride.
"Isn't it beautiful? A marvel of engineering, I'm telling you. People are going to love it."
Without warning, a loud crackling noise along with blue sparks erupted from inside the chassis, promptly followed by a thin, dark trail of smoke billowing from the golden metallic frame and carrying the faint but distinct smell of burnt circuits. Jace and Victor exchanged a glance. Jace scratched his temple. "Was that supposed to happen?" Victor made a face.
"No."
"Too much conductivity?"
"Undeniably."
"How about better constraints around the gem?
And the new quadricessor?"
"Noted. Anything else?"
Victor smiled bleakly.
6 more weeks?
Jace paused for a moment before his shoulders slumped into feet. "We're never going to be ready for Progress Day." Victor lowered his head.
"It's very likely."
A sharp twinge of pain gripped Jace's heart at the sight of his partner's crestfallen expression. Disappointing the council was one thing, but disappointing Victor? Intolerable. "We can still try," Jace said hurriedly, eager to smooth the crease between Victor's eyebrows. "If I skip the rehearsals for the opening ceremony—"
"Don't even think about missing the rehearsals," Victor said seriously. "It is essential you prepare for the opening ceremony. Besides, if you decide not to attend, it will only give us, what, 2 more days? We need weeks."
"If I skip the rehearsals," Jace repeated stubbornly, as if Victor hadn't interrupted him, "and let Rose and Axel prepare the exhibitions on their own—"
"You can't do this," Victor protested. "They need you out there.
You need me more." A low rumbling rose from Victor's throat as he suppressed a cough. His cheeks turned crimson, a striking contrast with his usually pale skin.
"Jace," Victor rasped, "you're the man of progress. People are counting on you. Your role is far too important for you to—"
"Not as important as this," Jace interrupted, beckoning his chin toward the automaton. "This is our work, our dream. What kind of partner would I be if I abandoned you now?" The cough he had been trying to suppress broke through, and Victor twisted around, coughing strenuously into his fist. The creeping worry that had been lurking in the recesses of Jace's mind for weeks instantly flared to life, like a cold monster snaking its tendrils around his heart. Without thinking, Jace stepped forward, hand half raised and heading for Victor's shoulder, but before he could reach him, Victor turned back, his composure seemingly regained, though his free hand was tugging at the red tie around his neck in an obvious attempt to ease his breathing.
"Jace," Victor said hoarsely, as though nothing had happened, "I wouldn't, you know I wouldn't hold it against you. And you know I could never look you in the eye again if I left you on your own."
Victor stared at him in wide-eyed disbelief. "Jace, don't worry," Jace cut in confidently, determined to set things right. "I'll find a way. I'll speak to Professor Heimerdinger, see what he can do for us. We're going to do it, Victor. We're going to finish this thing and make the world a better place, like we promised we would. And we're going to do it," Jace laid a reassuring hand on Victor's shoulders, "together." It was at this moment that everything went wrong. A loud, ugly choke rose from Victor's throat, as though something was lodged deep in his airway. An expression somewhere between pain and horror crossed his features. His eyes were wild, his mouth agape, and the hand that had been tugging at his tie was now clenched into a white-knuckled fist against his chest. Before Jace could so much as react, a violent tremor seized Victor, and he stumbled away from Jace, staggering toward the door in an obvious attempt to leave, until another tremor made him shudder so violently he lost grasp of his cane and collapsed against the desk, sending stacks of papers and parchments cascading to the floor.
"Victor!" Jace shouted, rushing toward his friend in a haze of pure, unadulterated panic. "Oh my god, Victor!"
Without thinking, Jace looped an arm around Victor's waist to lift him up, then slapped him hard between the shoulder blades. Twice. 3 times. On the 4th blow, a stifled wheeze escaped Victor's lips, and Victor coughed and coughed, hands splayed on the desk, shoulders heaving up and down uncontrollably in his desperate attempt to dislodge whatever was blocking his airway. Until finally, he retched violently and spat a mouthful of something onto the desk. What exactly, Jace couldn't tell, but as soon as it was out of his system, Victor coughed and sputtered as he drew in huge lungfuls of air, and that was the only thing Jace registered, the only thing that mattered. The room fell eerily silent, apart from Victor's ragged, labored breathing.
"Victor," Jace whispered tentatively, afraid the slightest disturbance might worsen his partner's already precarious state. "Victor, are you all right?"
It took a few moments for Victor to answer. His shoulders were quivering uncontrollably. A trickle of saliva and blood was trailing from the corner of his mouth down to his chin. Still wheezing, Victor wiped his mouth with the back of his hand, then lowered his head.
"I'm fine," he croaked.
Slowly, Jace reached forward to touch his shoulder, but Victor flinched, rolling his shoulder away. An unexpected reaction, as unexpected as the hot sting of rejection that needled its way through Jace's heart. Nonetheless, Jace retracted his hand at once. The last thing he wanted was to add to his partner's discomfort.
What happened?" Jace stuttered, still in shock. "One moment you were fine, and the next... What happened to you? What..."
The rest of Jace's sentence died on his lips. Something had just caught his attention, the thing Victor had spat on the desk, and the sight was so jarring that Jace could only stare in quiet disbelief. Lying on the desk were long, delicate flower petals of a strikingly crimson color. They were obviously magical, thought Jace distantly, and it wasn't even because they originated from Victor's lungs, which in itself is proof of their magical nature, that made him come to this conclusion. It was because they were glowing. A radiant light, reminiscent of a summer sunset, emanated from the petals, and it was so bright Jace idly wondered whether they were warm to the touch. Long and soft-looking, the borders and the recurved tip were a brighter orange than the inner part, dotted with deep crimson. Even smeared with blood, they were absolutely breathtaking. Ironic, considering Victor nearly suffocated on them.
For a split moment,
stupefaction supplanted Jace's intense worry. Are those flowers? A strained silence followed his words. Jace looked at Victor. His partner was petrified. His heavy breathing had come to an abrupt stop, and what little color remained in his face had drained away. His unblinking eyes were wide open, looking somewhat horrified. No more than horrified. Terrified. Then, without a word, without a single glance in Jace's direction, Victor fetched his cane at his feet and strode toward the door. "Victor!" Jace pleaded. "No, Victor, please, wait!" But the door slammed shut behind him with a resounding finality that seemed to echo in Jace's head, and he stared blindly at it without moving, feeling suddenly lost and very, very alone. Finding where Victor had gone had been easy. It was figuring out how to broach the subject with him that proved to be an incredibly difficult task. After waiting an hour to give his partner some space and mull over the best way to talk to him, Jace had gone directly to the water filtering plant at the edge of the city. For a moment, Jace had feared to find the place empty, but when he saw Victor, sitting in his usual spot, the fear that had been lodged like splinters in Jace's stomach ever since his partner had disappeared from view eased at last. When he was close enough, Jace cleared his throat to make his presence known. Victor slightly tilted his head toward him in acknowledgement, but kept his eyes on the oasis below. Taking his silence for assent, Jace sat down beside Victor, elbows resting on his knees, looking at the city in the distance without really seeing it. For a long while, neither of them spoke. The only sounds were those of the water rushing down to the oasis below, the continuous, rhythmic clanking of machinery in the background, and, had it not been for their unusual silence, Jace would not have heard it, the faint rustle of ivy leaves in the light breeze. But the sound that Jace found himself focusing on was that of Victor's breathing, slow, steady, yet slightly labored, as though an invisible weight was pressed against his chest. "So," Jace spoke when his concern finally became too much to bear. "You're sick." "What gave it away?" Victor said slowly, a sad, weak smile curling on his lips. "The constant coughing or all the flower petals I've just thrown up on your desk?" His voice didn't sound like it usually did, a consequence of his coughing fit, no doubt. It was raw, grating, wrecked. "Yeah, the flowers were kind of a dead giveaway," Jace said in a tone he hoped was light, though he was keenly aware of the anxious edge in his voice. Swallowing the nagging worry growing in his gut, he asked, "How are you feeling?" Victor grimaced.
"Like I've tried to swallow down an entire bouquet."
"Funny, that was actually my second guess." Victor laughed, a small victory, but it was quickly followed by a thick, hacking cough. Silence fell between them again, tense and heavy. Jace waited patiently, glancing at Victor to see if he would speak up, but his partner remained resolutely silent, looking at the oasis below with hollow, unfocused eyes. "That's no regular cough you got there," Jace said cautiously. Victor scoffed.
"That's an understatement."
"And do you know what it is?" Victor stiffened as if steeling himself. "It's called Hanahaki." Jace felt a sudden chill to the bone. "I think I've heard of it in some Ionian tales." No need to tell that most of those Ionian tales about magical diseases generally ended tragically. "So this disease, it makes flowers grow in your lungs? That's the gist of it. And how long have you been sick?" A strained pause.
"Months."
"Months," Jace repeated. It was as he had suspected, then. Of course it was. And how bad is it? Jace asked, and when Victor didn't reply right away, Jace insisted, Victor, how bad? Another pause. Longer. Then Victor looked at him with a pained smile, and Jace knew what he was about to say before he said it. Bad, Victor admitted at last.
I see, Jace said numbly.
A loud metallic rattle echoed right behind them, sending a flock of birds flying away above their heads. Jace watched them fly away impassively. He should have felt devastated upon learning the truth. He should have felt heartbroken, or grief-stricken, or something, anything instead of this emptiness, this black hole at the center of his chest sucking every last bit of emotion inside of him. Jace frowned. Was there something wrong with him? Perhaps there was. Perhaps he was some kind of monster. Perhaps he truly didn't care that Victor was going to... His chest heaved with a silent scream.
I hadn't planned on telling you like this,
Victor blurted out, having seemingly sensed Jace's distress.
I'm sorry.
It's okay,
Jace said hoarsely.
I meant to tell you, I really did. It's okay.
Victor smiled faintly.
It's not, though,
he said softly, and something in his voice told Jace that he wasn't only talking about the way he'd learned the news. And there was nothing he could say to that. Jace buried his face in his hands and breathed deeply through his nose. Sensing he would not be able to remain in control of his emotions unless he analyzed the situation logically, he forced himself to push all feelings aside and concentrate only on facts. Victor was sick with a life-threatening disease. That was just stating a fact, a cruel, unforgiving fact, but a fact nonetheless. Another essential fact, Hanahaki was no regular infection. It was a magical disease, which meant that, like all magic, it could be harnessed, controlled, destroyed. His voice sounded a bit too detached to his ears when he asked,
How did he catch it?
Victor sighed.
Too much tampering with the arcane, I suppose?
No, that wouldn't be enough, Jace said. Unable to stay still any longer, he stood up and started pacing, voicing his thoughts out loud in the same way he did when faced with a scientific conundrum. For such magical disease to take root, for such disease to afflict a living being, the arcane needs a catalyst, something to hold on to feed on. If it uses a physical source of energy, Jace grimaced, well, that means your body is the fuel. Those kinds of diseases never end well, and they're really fast. But if it's an incorporeal source of energy, it could be virtually anything. A thought, an idea, a dream.
A feeling,
Victor said in passing. A feeling, yes, exactly. That's why those diseases are so rare here in Piltover, because you need both. A raw seed of magic on one side. Jace stopped pacing and held both fists in front of Victor. And a compatible source of energy on the other. And if my memory is correct, in the case of Hanahaki, the energy is
unrequited love.
That's right, unrequited love. A never-ending source of energy for the arcane to consume, resulting... Jace mimed an explosion with both hands, in flowers growing in someone's lungs, which is why I don't understand how you got sick, because while you may have some close connection to the arcane due to the nature of our research, you're not... Wait. For the second time that day, Jace felt like someone had just hit him right in the head with one of his father's hammers. Something had just clicked inside his head. A truth so monumental it managed to push all his distress about the situation aside, like one nail drives out another. It took him a moment to make sense of all the thoughts spinning in his head, but when he finally got them all in order, Jace was left with a conclusion so simple, so obvious, yet so astonishing he was positive his brain was short-circuiting at this very moment. Jace raised a trembling finger at Victor.
You have Hanahaki,
he said breathlessly. An amused smile tugged at the corners of Victor's lips.
What an astute observation.
But that means you're in love with someone.
Victor averted his eyes, but the sudden blush coloring his cheeks was unmistakable.
Evidently.
Another nail, another hit.
Victor.
And his head was the wall.
Victor is.
The true meaning of the words and everything they entailed finally dawned on Jace, plunging him to a crashing sense of vertigo.
Victor is in love with someone,
he thought bemusedly, the stunning revelation playing havoc with his mind in a way learning about Victor being sick with a magical disease hadn't. In his defense, there had been obvious signs of Victor being sick. The recurring coughing fits, his ashen complexion, the dark circles under his eyes. But in love? How could he have missed this?
In less than a second, Jace's mind replayed every interaction Victor had had with other people in the last few months.
At lunch, in the academy's classrooms and hallways, at the numerous events they'd attended together, and found nothing of interest. Yet there was definitely someone out there whom Victor had feelings for, someone Victor loved so much that flowers were blooming in his lungs, slowly killing him from the inside. Someone who, for some incomprehensible reason, didn't return his feelings. "Who?" Jace blurted out, the word escaping his lips before he could stop it. "Who are you in love with?" Victor let out a nervous laugh. That's a personal matter. You shouldn't be asking. Victor, you're sick. That's a matter of public concern.
According to whom?
According to me. Victor's lips twitched, fighting a smile. I still fail to see the point of you asking. The point? Jace interrupted, pronouncing each word deliberately slowly. Is to save your life.
By doing what? Playing the matchmaker?
Victor gave an amused, somewhat derisive snort.
It doesn't matter who I'm in love with.
It matters to me! Jace exclaimed fiercely, and as he said the words, he was struck by the sheer veracity of his statement and the way it had so easily slipped out of his mouth. I'm going to find that person and demand that they love you back at once. There was a moment of bewildered silence, during which Victor looked at Jace, his eyes widened in surprise. Then Victor laughed. It was a sound of genuine mirth so far removed from the misery of the current situation that for a moment Jace wondered if he had imagined the whole conversation. He knew it was probably irrational, but he felt suddenly left out. It seemed as though Victor was enjoying some kind of private joke he wasn't privy to. "Have I said something funny?" Jace asked irritably. "No," Victor chuckled, though that same strange glimmer of amusement was still twinkling in his amber eyes.
"No, you haven't. Listen, I appreciate that you want to help me, but becoming my wingman won't get you anywhere, I'm afraid."
"How can you possibly know that?"
"I just do," Victor said flatly.
He didn't look dejected as he said it, only resigned. Jace wondered whether Victor had already confessed his feelings to the object of his affection only to get rejected. The thought made Jace take an immediate, irrational dislike to whoever this person was. As if reading his thoughts, Victor offered Jace a tired smile.
"The person I'm in love with is not to blame for what's happening to me, Jace."
Jace scoffed. "Allow me to disagree. No one is to blame for what's happening to me. No one." A brief pause, then Victor added,
"And no one can help me."
"I can," Jace replied instantly. "I can and I will."
"I've already tried to find a cure on my own," Victor said, now sounding bitter. "There's nothing to be done, believe me."
"You didn't have me to help you back then."
"It won't make any difference."
This hurt more than Jace thought possible. You don't think I can help you?" He choked out the words.
That's not what I meant," Victor said hurriedly, his voice husky and heavy with regret.
"Of course you're helping me, in your own way, as a friend. I just..."
Victor averted his gaze, his fingers fidgeting nervously on the handle of his cane.
"You can help me by being there for me," he muttered without looking at Jace.
"That's all I'm asking."
"And you think that's what I'm asking?" Jace retorted, his hands shaking at his sides as waves of barely controlled emotions he was struggling to keep in check rose inside him. "To not lift a finger to help you? To simply hold your hand while I watch you take your last breath?"
"Jace," Victor pleaded with a new ache in his voice. "Please, listen to me."
"But it's killing you!" Jace yelled so loudly his throat burned. The growing waves of desperation he'd managed to keep at bay until then finally broke through his defenses, engulfing him, drowning him, filling his lungs with suffocating anguish. "Do you really think I'm going to stand by and do nothing?"
"Jace."
"No, I won't let that happen. There must be something I can do."
"Jace, please.
Maybe if we use Hextech."
"Jace!" His shout hit Jace like a slap to the face.
Victor, now standing up, his face taut, his eyes hard and glinting with an unusual fire in them that burned straight through Jace, rarely, if ever, raised his voice. A deafening pause fell between the two of them, like being caught in the eye of a hurricane, and all they could do was stare at each other with a pained expression, like they both couldn't quite believe they were actually yelling at each other.
I know you're upset, Victor said heavily, and though he looked calm, his accent had grown noticeably thicker with distress. I know how you feel. I knew you would react like this. I knew you would do anything in your power to try and help me, no matter the cost. I knew, because I would have done the same for you, had I been in your place and you in mine. But there's a difference between you and me, Jace, and it is that you would stand a chance, but I just don't. So please, Victor said, his head lowered, screwing his eyes shut as if begging Jace to come back to his senses. Believe me when I say your reaction is disproportionate.
Jace could not believe his ears.
You think I'm overreacting? You're telling me you don't stand a chance, and you think I'm overreacting?
In a way, yes, you are.
What am I supposed to do, then? Just sit around and watch you?
Jace pressed a fist to his mouth, too upset to continue. Saying the word out loud was impossible.
What's the point of being the man of progress, of being your partner, if you won't let me help you?
You're already helping me.
Not in the only way that matters.
In the only way you can, Victor said, his voice suddenly firm. In a way that matters to me.
But why? Why won't you let me help you? Because I don't want to spend the short amount of time I have left on my own while you waste your time and energy on a lost cause, Victor said despairingly,
the words rushing out as if they'd have been bottled up inside him for a very long time.
And because I don't want you to feel guilty over failing to save me after I'm...
Jace flinched. The unsaid word hit him like a blow to the heart, the pain so tangible he actually stumbled backward. The shock of it knocked the breath from his lungs, sent his mind reeling, and he found himself needing to press his hand against the wall to keep his balance as he felt his whole world crumbling down at the foundations because Victor, his best friend, his partner, would soon be gone, gone, gone. When Jace came back to his senses, all he could see was his own pain mirrored in Victor's expression. Then Victor looked up at Jace and smiled, a sad, broken little thing.
There's nothing you can do, he said apologetically,
and Jace's heart, which he had thought well and truly shattered upon learning his best friend was dying, still managed to break further at that.
Nothing. You can't save me, Jace, and the sooner you realize it, the better. You need to accept it.
Jace blinked, the corners of his eyes prickling uncomfortably.
Have you accepted it?
Victor's eyes drifted toward the horizon, and a strange, unexpected ache swelled in Jace's heart as his friend's eyes softened, his lips stretching into a fond, wistful smile.
A long time ago.
For a while, they stood in silence, each lost in their own thoughts. As the sun was setting over Piltover, the light shifted, blazing the sky with vibrant hues of orange and crimson, with some purple clouds stretching lazily across the horizon. All over the city, the night lights were slowly turning on one by one, glittering like fallen stars. Jace felt his heart grow heavier with each of them. It seemed impossible that the world could go on as it always did, that there could be people going on with their lives as though nothing were wrong, people who didn't know who Victor was and didn't care what would happen to him. Letting out a defeated sigh, Jace walked to the edge of the cliff, standing on the very brink. His foot sent small rocks plummeting over the edge, and as he watched them fall, an overwhelming, gut-wrenching feeling of powerlessness gripped his heart like icy claws, the like of which he hadn't felt since he'd been standing over the ruins of his old workshop nearly 4 years ago. Victor had been the one to save his life back then. It seemed so long since Chase had met Victor, on the day he'd lost everything. His life's work, his lab, his patron, his place at the academy, and the respect of his peers, all gone in the blink of an eye. It had been, without exaggeration, the lowest point in his life. Then, right when he had considered giving up on everything, including his own life, this reserved yet ambitious, talented, brilliant young man invited himself into his life, giving him back everything he'd lost and more. Success, fame, recognition. Companionship. The latest was, without a doubt, the most drastic change Victor had brought into his life. Before him, Jace had never met anyone who understood him so perfectly, even among his peers or the people closest to him, like Caitlin, the misfit Jace considered his friend and, though he had never told her up front, his little sister. But she was still a teenager, and though she definitely enjoyed assisting him during his experiments from time to time, she usually got tired of his lengthy theories about obscure scientific topics pretty quickly, and considered his work as nothing more than a fun distraction. Unlike Victor. He had been the first to grasp the beauty of his work, the first also to truly understand Jace's motivations and goals, because they both became scientists for the same reason, helping people. The moment Victor had given Jace back the bracelet he always wore on his wrist as a reminder of his dedication to his work was the moment Jace's dream became Victor's. Together, they had succeeded where they had failed on their own, and together they had stayed ever since. Changing the world is the kind of thing that brings people together. It suddenly struck Jace how quickly he and Victor had become friends. To the best of Jace's recollection, there hadn't been a single day in the last 4 years where he hadn't spent some time in Victor's company. If someone had told him, on that fateful day, that he would find a kindred spirit in the very man who had been in charge of dismantling his entire workshop and bringing him into custody, he would have thought them insane. Now, he could hardly imagine his life without him. And it wasn't only the mutual trust and understanding they had for each other, despite coming from wildly different backgrounds, that Jace appreciated about his friendship with Victor. It was also all the little things that made it unique. It was their good-natured banter that never failed to happen whenever they were around each other. It was the addictive thrill of coming close to a breakthrough as they both strive to unravel the mysteries of the arcane through a new experiment, and their irrepressible laughter filling the lab when said experiment blew up in their faces. It was the animated conversations at ungodly hours of the night about some very specific scientific concepts, or about nothing at all. It was the calmer, quieter moments in the morning as they worked side by side in companionable silence. It was how natural it was to be around him. Had Jace been a better friend, the kind of friend Victor needed right now, he could have respected his decision. He could have accepted that Victor was not long for this world, could have accepted that there was nothing he could do to save his life, could have accepted the unacceptable, the inevitable. He could have. Except he couldn't bear the thought of a world without Victor in it.
"Well, I can't," Jace said at last, his voice tightening with newfound resolve. "I can't accept it. I won't. Not in a million years."
With his decision in mind, Jace turned to face Victor, chest out, shoulders squared, chin high, an expression of steely determination bordering on defiance on his face.
"I won't let you die," Jace declared, and as he said the words, he could feel his new resolution take hold of every cell in his body, seeping into every damn atom and molecule that made him. Victor would live. Jace wouldn't accept anything else. "I will save you, I promise."
Victor huffed, part amusement, part exasperation. Well, mostly exasperation, it seemed. There was this familiar, upward quirk at the corner of his mouth, the one he always had when he considered Jace was acting, in Victor's own words, too Piltoven, which Jace had since learned roughly meant grandiloquent. It would have made Jace laugh if the situation hadn't been so serious. "Please," Victor begged, his voice rasping. "Forget it. It can't be done."
"I'm not asking for permission."
Victor's eyes widened. "Jace." But before Victor could say anything else, Jace approached him and laid his hand on his shoulder, a motion so familiar it was as natural as breathing. Leaning heavily on his cane, Victor simply stood there, his shoulders hunched, staring past Jace with wide, glassy eyes.
"I'm sorry, Victor," Jace said, gently squeezing Victor's shoulder. "I know this isn't what you wanted to hear, but you'll have to put up with me meddling in your life for a while. If it makes you feel any better, I would feel much more guilty about not attempting to save your life than I would about trying and failing to do so."
"The fact that you think you don't stand a chance doesn't change anything. There isn't a single thing on earth I wouldn't do for you." Victor's shoulders tensed at the words, and Jace could feel his chest jump spasmodically under his hand as he suppressed a cough. The handkerchief Victor was holding tight against his mouth was splattered in blood. The sharp pang that shot through Jace's chest at the sight only strengthened his resolve.
"You saved me once," Jace said, squeezing Victor's shoulder once again. "Allow me to return the favor."
The coughing fit Victor had been holding back finally broke through, and a strangled sound rose from his throat as he coughed heavily into his fist, shoulders shaking with each painful inhale. In an instant, Jace had his arm wrapped around Victor's shoulders, rubbing soothing circles on his quivering back, but it did nothing to alleviate the coughing. If anything, it got worse. Victor suddenly held out his palm between them, and Jace instantly got the hint, backing away, watching helplessly as his partner coughed and gasped for air. After a few seconds, Victor spat into his handkerchief, and the glimpse of glowing, fiery flower petals stained with blood sent a shot of dread in Jace's stomach, bringing a new sense of urgency that was impossible to ignore. "He has less time than I thought," Jace swallowed with difficulty. "He would be right to be mad at me." But when Victor looked up at him at last, there was no recrimination in his amber eyes, only a mixture of resignation, amusement, and a tiny glimmer of something else. Something soft and warm and deep Jace couldn't put a name on. "Always exaggerating," Victor said hoarsely. Despite his chastising tone, there was the hint of a crooked smile teasing at his lips. "I didn't save your life. I merely, you know," Victor made a vague gesture, "gave you another chance to prove yourself." "Always downplaying your contributions," Jace replied, using that same berating yet playful tone. "We both know that if it weren't for you, I would have spent the rest of my days making hammers. Or splattered across the pavement."
Victor chuckled. "All right then, I take back what I said. I definitely saved your life."
Their laughter rang above the incessant rattling of machinery in the background. The sky had now darkened to a midnight blue, and the street lamps, glowing and shimmering against the darkness of the night, had turned Piltover into a dazzling spectacle of light and fire. It was a spectacle Jace had already seen countless times, one that failed to bring him any comfort tonight. Instead, Jace turned his attention to Victor. His eyes were closed. A wisp of wind was stirring his brown, tousled hair, the cutting edges of his cheekbones and jawline softened only slightly by some wild strands of hair fluttering in the light breeze. Then Victor lazily opened his eyes, looking in the distance. And as the city's glowing aura glittered in his amber eyes, bringing out flecks of gold and honey, Jace suddenly wished he could freeze time at that moment, just to appreciate it longer. How many times had he and Victor stood together in this very spot? How many carefree moments had Jace spent with his friend, taking them for granted, not realizing that his time with Victor was running out more quickly than he could ever have anticipated? Lost in the moment, Jace took a long, deep breath, imprinting every detail of Victor's face, every mole and dimple in his memory, before reminding himself that there was no urgency, that they had all the time in the world. They would live countless sunsets like this one together, because Victor was going to live for a long, long time. Then Victor met his eyes, and although Jace averted his gaze at once, it seemed as if his partner had read his mind when he spoke again.
"There's a thin line between stubbornness and denial, you know,"
Victor said softly. "Sure."
"And I think you've crossed that line, just in case that wasn't clear."
"I figured."
"Though I do believe you can accomplish the impossible. I mean, you've already done it before."
"I had a little help," Jace said, nudging his shoulder against Victor's. Victor huffed a breath of a laugh, then sighed.
"Still, though, curing me of this."
Victor crumpled the bloodstained handkerchief in his fist.
"This is no mean feat." "I'll make it happen anyway." "Don't push it too hard," Victor said in a deep voice, "or you might get my hopes up." "That's kind of the point."
Victor tensed, and for a moment, Jace feared he was going to collapse into another coughing fit. Thankfully, after a few seconds, the line of Victor's shoulders relaxed.
"Are you sure you're going to manage?" he then asked, eyeing Jace suspiciously. "With everything we have to do for Progress Day?"
"Hey!" Jace exclaimed, feigning offense. "I'm the man of progress, remember? I mean, I can handle anything." Looking down at Victor, he refrained from adding, "And I have my priorities straight." This time, Victor coughed in a loud, deliberate way that sounded suspiciously like Hexbot. Both men exchanged a sidelong glance, then shook with laughter. "Still not calling it that." Jace grinned, amazed at the way Victor still managed to make him laugh wholeheartedly despite the circumstances. "Besides, I thought we agreed on calling it the Great Steam Golem."
"All right,
I think that was just before you agreed to bring me a good cup of coffee every morning for the rest of my life.
I already bring you coffee every morning.
Victor smiled impishly. I said a good cup of coffee, Jace.
Ha ha, really funny. Jace snorted as Victor chuckled. And to answer your question, yes, I'll manage.
And if I don't, to hell with the council.
Victor opened his mouth like he was about to argue, but Jace cut him off.
Victor, it's fine, really. Everything is going to be fine. We'll sort it out like we always do. Together.
Jace placed a comforting hand on Victor's shoulder.
Don't worry, you'll live. I promise you that.
And there it was again, that same glimmer of emotion in Victor's eyes, soft, warm, and so full of trust that Jace felt himself falter for a brief moment.
I'll hold you to that,
Victor said with an earnest smile. He gently tapped Jace's shoulder with the handle of his cane.
It's getting late. Should we head back?
And lose all those precious hours to sleep when he could research Victor's disease instead?
I think I'll stay up here a little longer, actually, Jace said evasively. Just to enjoy the scenery.
Victor's eyes narrowed suspiciously.
Right. Try not to stay up too late.
Not my style. I'll see you tomorrow.
Like every day. Good night, Jace.
Good night, Jace said. And as Victor walked away, the characteristic tap, tap, tap of his cane echoing above the continuous clanking of machinery, Jace couldn't help but call out,
Hey, Victor?
Victor turned.
Yes?
A ripple of warmth fluttered down Jace's chest at the sight of Victor standing there, leaning on his cane, oddly endearing in his pinstripe brown dress shirt and white vest, slightly wrinkled trousers, and creased shoes, with his wild brown hair and his lopsided smile. Words bubbled in Jace's throat, threatening to choke him.
I've got you. I'll save you. I'll always be there for you.
Instead, Jace said,
How about Mighty Hextech Behemoth?
He was rewarded with a wholehearted laugh that for some precious seconds made Jace feel as if their lives hadn't been turned upside down.
Hopefully you'll be more inspired tomorrow, Victor teased.
Hopefully, Jace repeated with a smile. He watched until his partner turned the corner, then sat down and exhaled, head in his hands. He felt drained, exhausted. All he wanted to do was crawl in his bed and sleep until morning, yet he couldn't afford to rest. He had work to do. He allowed himself a few more minutes to collect his thoughts, then stood up and spared Piltover one final look before heading straight toward the academy. His pace quickened as a new plan formed in his head.
Go to the library. Borrow every book or published document that I can find on Hanahaki. Research and read them all thoroughly. Take detailed notes on anything that might seem of importance. Start from there.
And as his mind considered every possibility, every idea, every measure he could possibly take to cure his partner's life-threatening disease, one stood out above the rest, one Jace wanted to accomplish so badly it was almost visceral.
Make a list of all the people Victor might have feelings for. Find the person he's in love with. Seize them by the shoulders and shake them until they return his feelings. Save Victor's life.
His hand closed around the bracelet he still wore on his wrist to this day.
Save Victor.
Notes. The whole story is already written. It consists of 16 chapters plus an epilogue. For now, I plan on posting a new chapter every Sunday, so you can expect the next one to drop on April 20th, 2025. I welcome any kind of comment you feel up to leaving. You can also find me on Twitter and Tumblr if you want to chat. Thank you for reading. See you next Sunday.
Podfickers note. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed chapter one of my current favorite fanfiction. Please leave kudos or comments you have for the original work on the work itself, and kudos and comments are appreciated if you enjoyed my reading as well. I don't have an upload schedule in mind yet, but it would be nice to catch up to the ongoing fic before it ends, so we'll see. Thank you again, White Butterfly, for giving me permission to record this podfic and the encouragement during this process.